Hello and welcome to another episode of the County Cricket Podcast in association with our friends at Bear Cricket. I'm your host, Aaron, aka the Cricket Connoisseur, and on my left for today's very special episode of TCCP is none other than Northamptonshire County Cricket Club stalwart, Rob Keogh. So Rob, first things first, mate, thank you very much for joining me here on the podcast today. It's an absolute pleasure to get you on for a chat about all things county cricket. I have to ask, mate, how's your day been so far?
I've had better starts to the day. I actually tested positive for COVID this morning. You've actually managed to fill my day with something else rather than sat watching Peaky Blinders. So, yeah, it's good to chat.
Well, yeah, hopefully, fingers crossed, Rob, we can have a nice chat about all things county cricket today and, of course, relive your century. But listeners, before we get into the main chunk of today's podcast, which will, of course, be detailing each and every single game from round one of the 2022 LV County Championship, we have a brand new segment in store for you ahead of every single championship and Royal London One Day Cup review show in 2022. Now, this is a brand new segment. We've never done it before. We'll see how it goes heading into the rest of this summer. But this is our unsung hero segment. So at the start of every single review show in 2022, we want to shine the spotlight on the unsung heroes of county cricket. Be it fans, coaches, ground staff, whoever, we want to show our appreciation to the people who make county cricket great. So this week, I had the pleasure of sitting down with Derbyshire fan Vic Lewins to discuss her love of the club and the brilliant work that she's done helping out the Metronomes Cricket Club. Here's what she had to say. Well, Vic, first things first, thank you very much for joining me here on the podcast today. The first in our unsung county cricket hero segment. So breaking new ground here on the podcast in 2022. And of course, today we're going to be talking primarily about Derbyshire County Cricket Club and the Metronomes Cricket Club. So Vic, in terms of yourself, right, how did you get into county cricket in the first place? What were your first ever memories? What can you recall from those earliest days of supporting Derbyshire County Cricket Club?
So I've basically got my brother to blame for getting me into cricket. He was a big Derbyshire fan and I'd always get dragged along because he's my older brother. And so the earliest memories pretty much are just going, not really knowing what's going on, but gradually learning the game and learning to love it for what it was. It's where my passion for county cricket came from, because that's where it all started, was county cricket. There was no T20, there was none of that malarkey, it was just all county cricket. So came from there, really. I think the main standout memory would be the 2012. So I was early 20s, 2012. And it was the year I got my first season ticket. We decided to get a season ticket, me and my brother. And that was the year we ultimately won Division 2. So that always sticks in my head. It was also, looking back, we had Khawaja in our team at the time. And, of course, I wasn't clued up on who he was or how good he was or how good he could have been. And he scored half centuries in both innings, so that helped us to win Division 2 pretty much. And now when you look back and you realise just how big a deal that was and how much of a legend he actually is in the game. I also had to pull a sickie to go to the last 2 days from the job I was at. I don't work there anymore, so I'm not going to get into trouble for it, but I wasn't going to miss the last 2 days of us getting promoted, so it was all worth it.
Absolutely, Vic. And of course, a very, very good year for both of our counties. As you mentioned, Derbyshire getting promoted, Warwickshire winning Division 1 in 2012 as well. So quite clearly, a year that stood long in the memory in terms of your journey as a cricket fan.
Yeah, unfortunately for us, it didn't last long. But it was nice while it lasted, you've got to admit.
Exactly. And Vic, that's a perfect setup, to be honest, for you to give us some insight into what life is like as a Derbyshire fan, because over the winter of discontents, as it's been coined here in England and Wales, it's been a tough one. And there's been a lot of talk about county cricket. There's been a lot of talk about certain counties getting the axe, which we here at the County Cricket Podcast are massively against. Now, one of the clubs which always seems to crop up first is Derbyshire. But for the people out there who aren't associated with the club, what would you have to say to the critics, the naysayers, the doubters of Derbyshire as a club? And what does this club mean to you as a fan?
Well, I suppose what it means to me is it was family time for me to begin with, because my brother lived in Birmingham at the time. So when we bought a season ticket, it was an excuse for us to get together, go to the cricket, have a few beers, see friends and do all of that kind of things together. You know, it's tough to catch up when you've got busy lives, but it was just, like I say, it was a good excuse to have a good day at the cricket. And like I say, that's where it all started. As well, with Derbyshire, I do like an underdog. I think every team that I support in sport, anyone will tell you they're all terrible. My teams, they all put me through turmoil, season in, season out. But I like the fact that we still do make milestones. So finals day in 2019, for example, nobody ever expected us to get there. I remember being there and sitting next to two older gentlemen, and they could only name two players from the Derbyshire squad. And I think that speaks volumes about where we are and how people dismiss us season in, season out. And, you know, with Nicky Arthur behind the helm at the moment, I think in the next couple of years, people are going to see what Derbyshire can be again. I really do. As well with Derbyshire, outside of the field, a lot of our players are big about mental health issues. I've seen a lot of them come out recently. I think with the current climate and the lockdown the past couple of years, it's really pushed people to their limit. And I think it's so brave of them to come out and be so open and honest about the pressures of trying to play their best game on and off the field. And I think it just makes me really proud, to be honest. I love them. They are my team. And they will be around for a long time, no matter what anybody says.
They will indeed, Vic, because they were founded in 1870. And yeah, they are going absolutely nowhere anytime soon. A fantastic club. Great fans. Obviously lovely players as well. We've spoken to a number of the lads and they are an absolute delight. Every single time
they
get
are.
Them on
that, podcast. That's another thing. They always seem so open to meeting the fans, especially when you're there. They'll always wave at you and have a chat with you. They're just very personable and it's just a lovely place to be.
It is indeed. And again, the recurring theme, I suppose, to take away from this conversation, don't take away Derbyshire. You know, they're an integral part of the community. The fans love the club. The players involved clearly love the club as well. And yeah, they need to be protected as opposed to jettisoned away from the county circuit. But Vic, aside from Derbyshire, of course, because that was one of the main focuses for today's conversation, the other part as well, which is the main focus of the spotlight, the unsung heroes aspect of this segment, is the brilliant work that you've done for the Metronomes. So before we talk about the work itself and the help that you've given them in these past few months, could you just explain to us who the Metronomes actually are?
Yes, so it all began when Bex, one of the legends behind the Metronomes, she quote tweeted a TWS Sports podcast, who are a school for autistic students. And they launched a podcast through lockdown just to help students with their social skills. And TWS also recently won an award for their contribution during lockdown, which is amazing for them. And on the back of that tweet, Bex was contacted by a cricket club called Heaven Help Us, who are pretty much a roaming club that play for various charities. And they asked her to get a team together for autism, a charity game for autism. So what started out pretty much as a playful idea soon turned into something which Bex or Michael could have ever imagined. So many people were in on it and so many people wanted to help, and they've had their own special kits made and they look fantastic. I've had a sneak preview. They've had bat stickers, merchandise, kits donated by county cricket players, good luck messages from the likes of Ian Bell, Sophie Eccleston, David Milan, and the Tailender guys as well. That was pretty nice of them. As well, they've got an auction, and they are, the prizes that some of the people have donated are incredible. There is a certain pair of famous shorts being donated by a certain Derbyshire coach, which we've been promised by him personally. But yeah, that's what it is pretty much. It's just to raise awareness for autism and just to do it in a fun way around cricket in the summertime.
Well, to be honest, Vic, it is a fantastic idea. And of course, Bex and Michael, absolute legends of cricket Twitter.
They really are.
They are so great personalities. And you should be proud as well, because they're very, very nice people and it's a fantastic cause. But in terms of yourself, Vic, what influence have you had on the Metronomes? How have you actually helped them over the course of these past few weeks and months?
See, Bex always says that I've done loads for them, but I've just cheerleaded for them. You know, I've shared things, I've emailed counties and clubs to help promote them. I got my hands on an assigned cricket shirt, which I think is going to be really popular. I'm not sure how many people know about that one. I don't know how much I can say, so that's all I'll say on that one. But, you know, that's all I've pretty much done. It's all been down to Bex and Michael. They try and make out that I've done more than I personally think I have, but I don't like to blow my own trumpet. So I love them both, and I will do anything to help them. I'll also be there with my pom-poms on the day. So if anybody else wants to come and join the cheerleading team, they are welcome.
Well, Vic, you mentioned the actual charity game itself. Just to wrap up the segment before we get back into the main show, when is the game? What's the date? What's the location? And what can people expect from the Metronomes? Are you confident that they can get a win?
I'm not too sure about the win. I've seen the team lineup, and there are some questionable names in there. But it's on Monday, the 1st of August. It's at Spen Victoria Cricket Club in Cleckheaton over in Yorkshire. It kicks off roughly around 12 o'clock for midday. We're not too sure just yet because we're trying to put on a kids' game, just a six-a-side kids' game before the actual main event. So some of it still is a work in progress. But there's also going to be a Just Giving page made up towards the end of May if nobody can make the game and they still wish to donate. So that's the way around that.
Well, there we go, folks. There we go. A date, a location, Spen Victoria Cricket Club. If you are in the local area, get yourself down and support an absolutely fantastic cause. And of course, we'll be showing all the links to that in the podcast description below. If you want to go and check out the Metronomes, please feel free to go and do that at your own discretion. But Vic, that's basically it for the segment, to be honest. Just before we head back into the main show, do you have any final words to close in on with the likes of Derbyshire, the Metronomes? Just any final words for the first of our 2022 Unsung County Cricket Hero segment?
This year will be Derbyshire's year, and we're going to win Division 2. And we're going to beat Nottinghamshire twice. And get support in the Metronomes, because they are a worthy cause. And they have put a lot of hard work into it. So, but yeah, that's about all.
Well, again, a massive thanks to Vix for taking the time to come onto the show this week. It was an absolute pleasure to talk all things Derbyshire and, of course, her brilliant work with the Metronomes. And listeners, if you want to check out the Metronomes for yourself, you can find the links to their various social media channels using the description below. But Rob, with our Unsung Hero segment kickstarted in excellent style for 2022, let's get into the main chunk of today's podcast, which is, of course, the reviews. So how this works for the new listeners amongst you is we'll be going through game by game, looking at each and every single one of the key players and star performances from the first rounds of the 2022 LV County Championship. And Rob, what better place to start than at Wanted Road, the place where you scored your century in this week's game? So before we get into the game itself and we discuss each and every aspect and the main parts of this encounter between Gloucestershire and Northants in the East Midlands, take us through your innings, if you could. How did it feel to be out there in the middle, absolutely nailing that ball all over the place?
It's always nice to start the season off with runs. Sort of sets the tone for you to sort of kick on. It's just unfortunate that we've got a bye week this week, so I don't actually get to take that form into the next fixture. But yeah, I just have to give a quick shout out to the groundsman, actually, because that pitch for 4 days was incredible. It had a bit of everything. And as you saw, it went down to the wire right to the end. But yeah, it ebbed and flowed in our favour, then in Gloucestershire's favour constantly. We had them on the ropes early on in the first innings, and James Bracey played a fantastic innings to set them a pretty decent total, actually, looking at the ball from the first innings. Sandal and Berge were getting it to nip about. So that was he played a very good innings actually there. And then for us to be in a little bit of trouble, to have a lead of 65, which we thought was at the time was a lot. We managed to get a wicket in the three overs we had at them on day two in the evening. And then again, had them in a bit of trouble. I think they were 20 odd for four or whatever, still in the minus. And Higo, the Bristol Stokes, I call him, came out and showed everyone what he can do. He played so well and couldn't quite get over the line with the bat, and had to shut up shop with about two or three overs to go.
Well, it was a fantastic game of cricket. It really, really was. And I know for some people, they might say, oh, but it was a draw, but it was a great draw. It came right down to the wire. And you mentioned about the ebbs and flows. This game really did have it all at Wantage Road. You had James Bracey scoring his eighth career first-class ton. An absolutely outstanding knock, might I just add, 117 in very, very tough conditions against the likes of Ben Sanderson, who took 4 for 66, and Gareth Burke, who took 2 for 39. Northants then reduced to 129 for 7 within 35 overs during large part to a certain Ryan Higgins, the Bristol Stokes, as you called him, Rob, who took 4 for 68. Only for yourself to play a brilliant hand with 113 from 180 balls. Then, as if that wasn't enough excitement for one game, Gloucestershire reduced to 21 for 4 in the second innings. Ben Sanderson, 5 for 66. And actually, before we mention about the rest of the games, Rob, Ben Sanderson, a word, if you may. We are massive advocates and fans of his game here on the Counter Cricket Podcast. Just how lethal a bowler is he?
He's the GOAT. I'm unlucky enough to face him every day in the nets, and that's hard enough. So I can imagine on a day one pitch on April the 7th, it's not what you want. And a little mention to Chris Dent, who I know he got naught in the first innings, and going out on a pair under floodlights facing Sandal and Berge, and I think he got 50-odd second innings. I wouldn't want to be going out on a pair facing Sandal and Berge with the lights on. So, yeah, I get to face him every day in the net, so I can see how good they are. And Sando just keeps on delivering. We take the mick out of them for being old, too old seam bowlers, but they still produce every season, so we're very lucky to have them.
You most certainly are. He's so good. He really is. His first-class career bowling average is around about 20.8. It's absolutely staggering how his name has not been in the mix for either the England Lions or indeed for the England main team is absolutely staggering to me. So who knows? Here on the podcast, we've already got Steve-O for England. Maybe let's add Sando for England as well in 2022.
I'll tell you what, you wouldn't want to face that as a touring side in April. You wouldn't want to face Steve-O, Sando and Ryan Higgins, would you? Along with others, Sam Cook, Jamie Porter, those guys as well. It's not very pleasant. I'd love to see an Ashes in April with those guys in the team and see how they get on.
So would I. Be absolutely phenomenal entertainment, really would. Especially on a green seamer. That'd be very, very challenging indeed for any batting opposition. But again, just going back onto the game itself, Ryan Higgins, 139 in that second innings. Tom Lace, a former guest here at the Counter Cricket Podcast, scoring 73. And Zafar Gohar scoring a really valuable 53. Those three were absolutely superb. And that led to the final day. 299 runs as the target. Save Zabe, 65. Yourself, Rob, again, carrying over that form from the first inning, scoring 74. You gave it a good go, didn't you? 272 for 8. Do you think in hindsight you maybe could have got across the line, or you're happy with that result?
Yeah, definitely. I do feel, well, the team feel like we could have got off to a bit of a better start and got over the line. But, you know, it's tough on a new ball. It was a new ball pitch. So we had to get through the initial threat with the new ball. But in hindsight, I think we'd have liked to get over the line. Yeah, I think we got off to a bit of a slow start in terms of run rate. But then we knew that we'd almost batted them out of the game with them not taking any wickets. So it gave us that sort of middle period to really attack it. And Saif came out and sort of blazed it everywhere. And I just sort of batted, really. I didn't really have to do anything, to be honest. I just played normally and tried to rotate the strike for Saif and Cobby. And I played a bit of a tired, lazy shot off Zafar, actually. I just chipped one up to extra cover. It was a bit of a nothing shot, really. But I've got COVID now, so I could blame COVID, maybe. Yeah, so I do blame myself a little bit. Just as we got the rate down to a runnable from 10 overs, it really was just about to be go time for me and Josh. We'd spoken about it, get it down to 10 overs, needing to run a ball, and it all worked perfectly until I decided to chip one up to cover.
Oh, it happens though, doesn't it? That is the game.
Yeah,
of cricket.
It does, yeah. It does, yeah. And unfortunately, we just kept losing wickets at the wrong time, and then we got the nod to shut shop because they had a new ball around the corner, and we just thought, you know what, it's been a tough game and we'll just try and get out of it with a draw. And I think we ended up 8 down. Here go, dropped to caught and bowled with 2 balls or 3 balls to go, which would have been nervy for Sando to go out under floodlights with a new ball, block out of 3 balls. So it just, yeah, it was a game that had everything and it was a pleasure to be a part of.
I can imagine it was. And again, I know it did end in a draw, but I think that was actually quite a fair result, to be honest. For both sides, I think both teams put on an absolute show at Wantage Road this week. It was a fantastic way to kickstart this year's County Championship, in my opinion. And yeah, hopefully we'll get some more thrilling games like that as the competition does progress. But from the East Midlands then, Rob, let's move down to the South Coast and let's go to Hampshire. Because Hampshire, a side which staggeringly have not lifted the County Championship since 1973, they got off their title charge to an absolutely phenomenal start in 2022, thrashing Somerset by an innings and 113 runs within just 3 days at the Aegeus Bowl. So in terms of how this game actually panned out, Somerset were bowled out for 180 in the first innings, 87 runs of which were scored by James Hildreth, the man, the myth, the legend himself. He was in fantastic touch, 10 fours, looked at ease at the crease, to be honest, in that innings. But the key thing there, 7 of the Somerset batters dismissed for single-digit scores. They just needed someone to stick with him, and that simply didn't happen. In terms of the pick of the bowlers, Keith Barker, a legend. We love Keith Hubert, Douglas Barker here at the County Cricket Podcast. He took 3 for 33. And I'm guessing, Rob, you saw that delivery to Steve Davis.
I think every batter in the country has seen that delivery. And I actually read some of the comments flying around on Twitter, people saying that he's got a bat. Why is he leaving it? But that, I've not spun one like that, and I'm a spinner. It was incredible, to be honest. I just thought it's unplayable. I think if you try and play it and it doesn't nip, you nick it to slip. And if you leave it, it spins back 3 foot and bowls you. So it's unplayable.
It's a lose-lose, isn't it, for Stephen Davis, unfortunately. It was a beautiful delivery, though. Great celebration as well from Barks, it has to be said. But yeah, I would not fancy facing that delivery at all, to be honest, especially on April. First game of the season, and that happens. Very, very unlucky for Stephen Davis. But after Somerset were bowled out for 180, Joe Weatherly, who, to be honest, is impressing me as a Hampshire opener across formats, it has to be said, scored a career-best 168, which included 19 fours and a six. Rob, how impressive was he? 19 boundaries, a six, a career-best score, it has to be said. He was outstanding, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, and he's actually a really nice guy. I was lucky enough to play golf with Joe on a PCA golf trip, and he's a really nice guy, actually. And you can tell he loves cricket. He works hard at his game, and like you say, across all formats, he's just been rewarded with 100 gig, I think, and well deserved. He's, you know, it looked a, from what we saw, it looked a tough pitch to bat on. Obviously, we saw the Keith Barker ball, and I've seen a few of the highlights and it just looked easy for him. Yeah, what very impressive on that sort of pitch, and to get them and set the game up for Hampshire perfectly for them to go and have another bowl and bowl Somerset out again.
He most certainly did. Very, very well articulated indeed, Rob. And again, alongside Joe Weatherly was James Vince, who again, as adeptly as ever, provided ample assistance with a quick fire 56. But after that salvo from the Hampshire batting lineup, Somerset in the second innings, this was very disappointing. And I can understand for Somerset fans, a really, really bad way to start the summer. Unfortunately, in 2022, the West Country outfit bowled for 135 runs within 50.2 overs. Mohammed Abbas, 4 for 22. James Filler, 3 for 23. And yeah, the game was done. Basically, 2.5 days into the match, an emphatic performance from Hampshire, in a fantastic way to kickstart the summer of 2022 for the Southern side. Rob, looking at that bowling attack with the likes of Abbott, Abbas, Barker, Wheel, Crane, Fuller, Organ, Dawson. It's quite the unit, isn't it, to say the least?
Yeah, they've got not just the bowling attack, they've got all round a very good side. We spoke about Joe there at the top of the order, but you've got Vince, Dawson, two very experienced guys, played international cricket. Ben Brown, who always seems to score runs against Northants, and everyone else actually is a great addition to them. And yeah, the bowling attack, Mohammed Abbas is a genius. And we've all seen what Carl Abbott can do with a ball over the last few summers. Yeah, and again, you add that with the guys like Keith Barker, who's played a lot of county cricket now. And they've got to be up there with favourites, I would have thought, to win the championship.
To be honest, I would agree with that. It's a ridiculously good outfit on paper, and they came so close last summer as well. You know, just losing by one wicket up in Liverpool against Lancs could have all been so different. But again, we are approaching 50 years since Hampshire last lifted this trophy. Who knows? 2022 could be the year. Very early days, of course, but the initial signs are looking very, very promising indeed. As for Somerset, though, Rob, almost the opposite. You know, a side which still, and I always say this, it absolutely baffles and bamboozles me, the fact that this club has not lifted the championship, considering the sheer amount of talent and calibre that seems to just present itself every single season down in Taunton. And yet, for some reason or another, it's never resulted in a trophy. In terms of this start of the season, how do they bounce back from such a poor start?
In my opinion, Somerset are a very strong side. As we've just said, they've got a good bowling attack. Peter Siddle, Marchant Galang. And they've got some experienced batters there. Tom Mabel, Hildreth, we've spoke about. Sometimes these games just happen where things just don't go your way. Like, we've played games in the past where you feel like Sandor and Bergie are beating the bat constantly and we go out as batters and we just nick one. So it does happen. We had obviously had the game down at Chelmsford where it was over in a day in a session or something ridiculous. And sometimes you just have those days and it's how you can bounce back. And yeah, Somerset are a good club and have been a good, strong club for a long time now. So they'll be backing themselves to bounce back.
They most certainly will. Yeah. An unfortunate start to the season, though. It does have to be said. For the West Country outfit, but again, very, very early days, still 13 more matches to go. Who knows, Somerset fans, the boys can get things rolling as the season gets a little bit more underway. But from Southampton then, let's move up to the Midlands and let's go to my home ground, Edgbaston Cricket Stadium here in Shakespeare's County of Warwickshire, where the Bear and Ragged staff played out a high-scoring draw against Surrey in Birmingham. So, Rob, I'm not sure how much you caught of this game, but I've got to be honest, from a fan's perspective, I was there for all 4 days. And before I mention the game as well, I have to give a massive, massive shout out to the wonderful Surrey fans that I sat next to. The likes of Bex, Phil, Patricia, Pete, Mick, all of you are absolutely fantastic company. Cannot give those guys a shout out highly enough. They were absolutely brilliant to spend 4 days alongside. But in terms of the game itself, as I mentioned, very, very high scoring. Ryan Patel scoring a very, very free-flowing 75. Ben Folkes, 132 not out. Matt Lamb his second ever century in first-class cricket, scoring 108. And then, of course, you had the likes of Sam Haines chipping in with 78. And Michael Burgess, 178, career best, 24s and 8 sixes. He was dispatching Kemal Roach time and time and time again into the Eric Holley stand. From the outside, I suppose, Rob, what did you make of that game between these two sides?
I mean, from the outside, it just looks like an absolute run fest, doesn't it? I think 5:30 played, 4:30 declared. And yeah, it just looked like an absolute run fest, a tough one for the bowlers. But, you know, it's two good teams. Again, two strong teams that will both be trying to contend for the title. A lot of internationals on show, which is always nice to see. And yeah, it just looked a tough one for the bowlers. Again, I think you have these games sometimes where it just seems like you can't get anyone out and you're in the field for 100 overs and more sometimes. So yeah, I don't think we need to look too much into that apart from a few good knocks on a bat-friendly pitch.
Absolutely. It was a beautiful wicket. I will say this, even though it was raining and it felt like it was hailing, to be honest, at times on day one. It was absolutely Baltic in the second city. I was absolutely frozen in the Stanley Barnes stand, but the pitch looked an absolute belter. And as I said, Ryan Patel in particular, the way in which he was just dispatching ball after ball to the boundary, he looks in really, really good touch. Definitely a young player to watch out for heading into this year's championship. And then, of course, Michael Burgess. That was an unbelievable innings, to say the least. 24s, 8 sixes. And he brought up his century with a massive six as well. And for those who've been following the podcast for a while, you may or may not know, within the first three games, we had a bit of a wager with Burge himself. He said if he scored a ton, he has to get one of his ears pierced. So, Michael, I'll be watching out for that. But yeah, that is the first time that Warwickshire as a club scored 500-plus runs in a championship game since August 2018. 2018, that's 4 years ago, basically, since the Bear and Ragged staff have scored 500-plus, when we scored 503 against Glamorgan at Colwyn Bay. So a good start to the season batting-wise for both sides. But then again, you look at the bowling figures, I would say it was a batting-friendly wicket, to say the least. Ollie Hannon-Dorby, I think he bowled very well, 4 for 78. In the first innings, could have had a fifer if Will Rhodes would have held on to one at second slip, I believe. But again, just a very, very good game for both sides in order to get some batting practice, basically. And in terms of Ben Foulkes, 132 not out. He played the anchor role absolutely superbly. He looks in good touch, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. Obviously, everyone in the country knows how good Ben Foulkes is. Not only with the gloves, he's exceptional with the gloves, but also with a bat. And yeah, nice way for him to start his season with 100 and throw his name around for the England selectors again, because I know he was involved a bit this winter, but he'll be looking to sort of cement a place in that England side for the Test summer coming up as well.
He most certainly will. And aside from Ben Foulkes, and we'll probably pick up the England conversation at some point, I imagine, in today's podcast, given that it is such a hot topic at the moment. But I wanted to know your thoughts actually about something, Rob. And this was Surrey's team selection, because as I mentioned, with the Surrey fans, I had quite a long chat about this in the stands, and it was the fact that they didn't select a specialist spinner. So in Surrey's first innings, Danny Briggs was providing all sorts, basically, with the ball for Warwickshire, took three wickets, and there was a slight bit in the surface at times, but Surrey didn't select a frontline spinner. They went with the likes of Will Jacks. I think Roy Burns and Ryan Patel bowled a little bit as well, but they didn't go for Amal Verdi or Dan Moriarty. In hindsight, do you think that was a mistake on this surface, which was a bit placid and a bit benign?
I guess it's hard to tell without seeing the pitch itself. It's hard to tell. Again, it's April the 7th, freezing cold. You don't really expect spin to play a massive part. And knowing they do have options in Will Jacks to bowl overs when required, I mean, they probably didn't imagine that the game was going to be 500 plays 500. And again, you say that Danny Briggs played a big part. They still were in the field for a long time. And Danny Briggs is a very good bowler and got three for, but would playing that extra spinner have changed the game for him and made it possible to win? Probably not. So again, I don't think it's a massive decision, and I don't think the Surrey fans should be too upset about that one.
No, to be honest, the Surrey fans that I spoke with actually quite happy with the results at the home of the defending champions. It was a really, really good match for batting. Obviously, I did feel quite bad for the bowlers as a bowler myself, but again, a fantastic start to the season for both sides, getting that high-scoring draw at Edgbaston. And I'll tell you what, some other entertaining bits from that game. Rob, did you see Rory Burns bowling with the wonderful locks flowing so beautifully in the wind? There was that. We had Sam Hain bowling as well. For the first time, I think since 2016, if I'm not mistaken, 6 years in the making that was, and he bowled a no-ball second ball.
God, you can't have that big a build-up and then bowl a no-ball second ball, can you? He needs to be called into the office there for that one.
Yeah, it was a pretty shocking no-ball as well. It really was. I think it went over Rory Burns' head. It's like a moon ball, basically. Yeah, I don't think we'll be seeing Haney with a ball in hand much more this summer, hopefully. Fingers crossed for us as Warwickshire fans. But yeah, that was basically it, to be honest, for that game between Warwickshire and Surrey in the Second City. A thoroughly enjoyable game, to say the least. Not a bad start for either side, to be honest. But yeah, definitely a batting-friendly game, to say the least. But aside from Birmingham then, Rob, we go on to our fourth and final game from the first round of this year's Division 1 games in the LV County Championship. And we go down to the southeast. We go to Chelmsford, where Kent and Essex also played out a very, very high-scoring draw indeed. And just like with the other reviews, we have to mention the star performers. In this game, we had Nick Brown. He scored 107. Sir Alistair Cook, he scored a ton. Those two actually set the tone, I think, magnificently with a 220 opening stand. And then Matt Critchley. This was a debut to remember, wasn't it? 132, his fifth career first-class century, as well as bowling figures of 414 from 46 overs. So, Rob, in your opinion, just how pivotal of a signing will Matt Critchley be to this Essex outfit? Because in terms of the bowling, you've already got Simon Harmer. We know exactly what he's capable of. The guy takes at least 50 wickets every single season. But in terms of the bat in hand as well, an area which obviously Essex no longer have the likes of Ryan Tendershkarta to back them up in this area, just how important will Matt Critchley be to the Eagles' chances in 2022?
Oh, he's a great signing. He's obviously a great player, Matt, with a bat in hand, but also he showed there how valuable he can be with the ball, especially if they are going to play on turning wickets down there, to have Harmer one end, Critch the other. And with that batting lineup, I'm sure they're going to stick some runs on the board as well. But we say about Critch and Harmer, they've also got Sam Cook, Jamie Porter, and many other seamers as well that they can rely on. I think they've got Steckertiers overseas at the minute. Got a big reputation in Oz. So they're, again, looking a very strong team. You go down the list there, Nick Brown been around for a while. Alistair Cook, obviously, is Alistair Cook. Tom Wesley played international cricket. Dan Lawrence played international cricket. Rosso added to that. Who can take a game away from anyone in a heartbeat. I've seen that firsthand. And then, obviously, Critch. They look a strong side.
Yeah, they most certainly do. They really do. And obviously, this was quite a high-scoring game. And again, along the lines of Warwickshire, bowling Sam Hain, Surrey bowling Rory Burns, Sir Alistair Cook came in to have a bowl. He turned over the arm, didn't he? Did you see that, Rob, in terms of the crab-like bowling action? That was quite a strange one, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it looked like one of them nipped, actually. I wouldn't want to face that, to be honest. I hope I can say I never got to face Sir Alistair Cook.
Yeah, to be honest, if you look at his test average, I think his test bowling average, and of course, the sample size very small because he only ever got the one wicket, that of Ishant Sharma, quite famously at Trent Bridge. But his bowling average in test cricket is just 7. So Sir Alistair Cook, when he does turn the arm over, he does come into bowl. He's quite effective.
Well, you'd have to say he's underbowled himself there, really. If you've got a test bowling average of 7, I think as captain, he should have brought more.
Should have indeed, yeah. Alistair Cook, all-rounder, who knows, we might see that in 2022 for Essex heading into a few more games. But aside from Essex, the home side, we also have to talk about Kent, because in our preview show, we mentioned about Kent's frailties in 2022, with the big one being the bat in hand. Because in 2021, in the group stages, they had just 15 batting bonus points, a very, very low total. You're not going to win the championship if you don't put runs on the board. But in this game, Ben Compton, on debut, 129 from 289 balls, which included 19 boundaries. I thought he was absolutely exceptional at the top of the order. And Jordan Cox as well. We spoke about Ryan Patel being someone to watch out for in this year's championship. Watch out for Jordan Cox. Again, a very enterprising prospect indeed from the southeastern side. He surpassed the 1,000 career first-class run mark with a gritty 129 from 332 balls. But aside from the centuries as well, something which really impressed me for Kent as a club in this game was the fact that they also had multiple players scoring 50-plus runs. They had lots of contributions throughout the batting lineup. So you had Tawanda Muyeye, he scored 58. Darren Stevens, the GOAT, the man, the myth, the legend, scoring 51. Matt Milne scored 67. Jackson Bird on debut scoring 53, not out. Those regular contributions are absolutely pivotal, aren't they, in a game like this, Rob?
Oh, massive, yeah. And it just does confidence for the whole team. Just even to see lower order, I'd say lower order batters or sort of the bowlers, all-rounders sort of chipping in with runs, it does do them confidence and also the team confidence, knowing that if they are in a little bit of trouble, then they've still got guys who can come in and score some runs. And yeah, Jordan Cox is definitely a standout for me in that team. He's a good player in all forms. We've seen that and from the Blast final. He's an exciting young talent. I've not seen him sort of grit out 100 like that before. He's normally quite a free-flowing, scores pretty quickly. So yeah, for him to dig in, and I think he faced 300 balls, which, you know, was going to do him a world of good. And he can take the confidence from that first game into next week.
He most certainly can, but I'll tell you what, Kent, they've got quite the opposition this week, haven't they? Lancashire. Goodness me, I don't think Jimmy's playing, unfortunately, but even so, that Lancashire seam attack, you need all the confidence you can get, because they are a very, very lethal outfit indeed, as we'll probably discuss at the end of today's show. But yeah, again, a very, very good game for batting. Of course, mentioned the likes of Compton, Jordan Cox as well. That was a very un-Jordan Cox-like innings. I will say that, because you mentioned there already, he has a great fluency to his batting usually, but he dug in. He showed some grit, some graft, some steel, which again is great for Kent fans to see. And to be honest, for both sides, again, even though it's a draw, lots of positives to take away for both sides heading into the rest of this year's County Championship. And talking of the Championship then, because we've reviewed each and every single one of the Division 1 games for this week, let's have a look at how the table is shaping up. So at the top of the 2022 LV County Championship, at the end of round one, we've got Hampshire on 23 points. In second, Rob, you'll like the look of this, Northamptonshire on 13 points in second place. Surrey and Warwickshire occupy third and fourth, also on 13 points apiece. Gloucestershire, Kent and Essex occupy fifth, sixth and seventh on 12 points each. Somerset unfortunately find themselves in eighth on just 1 point. And then Lancashire and Yorkshire find themselves in ninth and tenth on 0 points, having not played a game this week. So fingers crossed, Lancashire and Yorkshire fans, your team will, of course, get some points on the board heading into round two. But an interesting start to this year's Division One, to say the least. Hampshire, of course, being the standout team, in my opinion, with the likes of Abbas, Barker, Abbott, Weatherly being fantastic as well. James Vince looking as fluent as ever. They do look like very, very strong contenders indeed. And it'll be interesting to find out how Hampshire get on heading into the rest of this year's tournament. But moving on from Division 1 then, let's go to Division 2, Rob, and let's go to Trent Bridge, where Nottinghamshire, the favourites in my opinion for Division 2 in 2022, kickstarted their campaign in fantastic fashion with a 10-wicket victory over Sussex down in Hove. So in terms of how the game actually panned out, first and foremost, I want to give a massive, massive shout out to Tom Clark. Maiden first-class century, 100 from 187 balls. And the batting conditions were tough. Not only were the conditions tough, not only was there a little bit of movement in the pitch, but you think of that Nottinghamshire bowling attack, one of the best in the country, with the likes of Luke Fletcher, the leading wicket taker from 2021. You had Brett Hutton, Lyndon James, Joey Everson, Liam Paterson-White. I thought he batted absolutely superbly. So shout out to Tom Clark, as well as Ali Orr. He was very, very good across both innings. But on the flip side, in terms of the bowling, Liam Paterson-White, a man who we've had here on the podcast, an absolute badger when it comes to the arts of spin bowling, 5 for 84 in April. Rob, how impressive is that? As a spin bowler yourself, how difficult, first and foremost, is it to take wickets in bunches at this time of year? And secondly, just how important were Paterson-White's contributions in this particular match?
Oh, massive. And I think he chipped in with some runs as well. I think he got 40 as well. So he's had a very good start to the season with 40-odd runs and, again, his wicket. And I think he got a run out as well, just to add that to the add that to his game. But, yeah, it's not very often you see spinners contributing that much in April, let alone the first week of April. So it's going to be massive for his confidence. There's obviously a lot of conversation around spin in England over the last couple of years. So he's obviously the standout at the minute. He's got 5 for in the first game. What a way to start for him.
It most certainly was. Yeah, he's an excellent bowler, is Liam. Genuinely, I've got a lot of time for him. You mentioned there as well, chipping in with a vital 40 as well. Definitely someone to watch out for if you are a Nottinghamshire fan. And talking to someone else, another young gun in the East Midlands, a certain Joey Everson, 109 not out, his first ever career century in first-class cricket. Also contributed with the ball as well. I thought he had an absolutely remarkable game for the East Midlands outfit. And then Mr. Reliable, the skipper, Stephen Mullaney, 192, career best score, 15 fours and 5 sixes. What an innings that was. A great way to kickstart his personal campaign in 2022. And then that meant that Sussex basically had to bat out for a draw at that point. Notts had piled on the runs, something which we expect to see quite a lot, to be honest, in this year's championship, given the calibre and quality that is present in that batting lineup. But Ali Orr, I mentioned him beforehand, yes, he finished on the losing side, but 41 from 168. I know it's in a losing cause, but I thought he showed a great deal of heart and valour and courage in that particular game. So shout out to Ali Orr. But as much as the young Martlets tries this week, not simply too strong. James Hutton, Liam Paterson-White, each taking 3 wickets in the second innings to basically tee up the victory for Notts with 10 wickets to spare. So a very, very good start to the season for Notts. For Sussex, obviously they'll be disappointed with the loss and they are at the bottom of the championship table so far. But at the same time, they are a very, very young side. Just 21.6 years of age. That's the average age of this squad for this particular game. They have the likes of Ali Orr. They have the likes of Tom Clark. Jack Carson will slot in. Jamie Atkins, Sean Hunt, Dan Ibrahim, Henry Crocombe. The list goes on and on and on. Rob, I know it's disappointing for Sussex fans, but they can find some solace in the young talent heading into the future, can't they?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it wouldn't have been the result they were after, obviously, starting with a loss. But like you say, plenty of positives. Some young batters scoring runs. Haynes, again, in the runs. He scored some good runs. I think he got 1,000 runs last year or near enough. He actually scored 100 against us and looked very impressive, actually. So he's another one that's there to look out for. I know he had his year last year, but if he carries on the way he has done, he's one to look out for. But yeah, they're a young side. Again, take a lot of positives. If they play like that with the additions, I think they've got a couple of overseas to come into that team. Had the experience. could be an exciting year for Sussex. Again, against a very strong Notts team. We talk about Mullaney. He's one that does it in all forms and been reliable for Notts for years. So he actually saved. They were in a bit of a spot of bother, I think, when he went out to bat. It wasn't all Palin with six, putting nearly 400 on. So he came out at not an easy time. If he'd have got out early, it would have been a lot of pressure on the tail end to try and keep up with Sussex's first inning score, but obviously got 190, setting up the game, getting Notts the lead, and then the bowlers obviously did the rest and killed the game.
Yeah, they did. And again, to be honest, in this year's championship, that will be the style of play that Notts adopts. Pile on the runs, given the strength of that batting unit, and then just chip away. That's all they have to do. That seam attack as well. Bear in mind, they didn't have the likes of Stuart Broad or Dane Patterson. He's coming into the game for this week's round. It's a staggering bowling attack. It really, really is. So not to watch out for them. I think they're going to get promoted. But again, very early days for both sides. We'll have to wait and see how things pan out heading into the rest of this year's championship. But moving on from Trent Bridge then, let's go across the East Midlands to Leicester. Let's go to Grace Road, where Worcestershire and Leicestershire played out a very, very thrilling draw in Leicester. So Brett D'Oliveira, making his debut as captain of the pair, scored 118. Phenomenal player. Might I just add, Brett D'Oliveira, we mentioned about Matt Critchley earlier and the importance of his role in the Essex side. Brett D'Oliveira very much occupies a similar niche for this Worcestershire outfit. He is their premier all-rounder, in particular now that Daryl Mitchell has retired. His runs, his wickets are going to be absolutely imperative to the pair's success in 2022. And then in Leicestershire's first innings, Lewis Hill, who we have to touch upon, to be honest, Rob, because he's been so impressive. He really has. He carried over his form from 2021 with a vital 93 from 114 balls, 15 of which came via boundaries. He was Leicestershire's leading run scorer last year. He's really taken on the onus, the responsibility in that middle order. How impressed have you been, Rob, with Lewis's, you know, contributions and performances in a Leicestershire shirt since the start of 2021?
Yeah, he's obviously impressed a lot, and he's obviously gone away, worked hard at his game. And yeah, to see what he's done in the Championship for Leicester over the last year or so has been really impressive, and he'll be hoping to build on that and have another strong season. He's now someone that Leicester really rely on. They've got a few experienced players in there. They've obviously got Parkey with the ball, Chris Wright, very experienced seamer, and then Ackerman with the bat. So Healy and Ackers will sort of be trying to be their two experienced batters there, and Lewis will want to kick on from the progress he's made over the last 2 years, definitely.
Absolutely. He most certainly will. The homegrown hero for the Foxes, providing the goods yet again for the East Midlands outfits. And talking to players who are coming back to their boyhood club, let's talk about Ed Pollock, who, of course, has made the recent switch. He's gone from Warwickshire to Worcestershire. He's gone from being a Bear to a Pear ahead of this year's championship. And in his first ever county championship game in the second innings, scored 112 from 122 deliveries. 10 fours, 2 sixes, part of a 163-run opening stand with Jake Libby, someone who, again, we talk about the England conversation, definitely up there, based on his performances from the past couple of seasons. I'm absolutely delighted for him. Obviously, as a Warwickshire fan, I'm sad to see him go, because Ed Pollock is a great cricketer to watch. When he's really on points, when he's out there and he's middling this ball all over the place, he's so destructive. He can single-handedly dispatch any bowling attack in county cricket. Yes, at times, he does have some low scores. He does get out to some less than brilliant deliveries, but that's his style. But when it pays off, goodness me, he's absolutely blockbuster to watch, and definitely someone to watch out for heading into the limited overs stuff later on in this year's county summer. But aside from the first and second innings then, let's go on to Leicestershire's second innings, because this is where the game got really, really interesting. The Foxes needed 370 runs to get the victory. That's a massive total, to say the least. Dylan Pennington, who took 3 for 36, Josh Baker, the young left-arm off-spinner, took 4 for 51. Those two scythed through the Foxes' top order to leave them teetering on a perilous score of 122 for 7 in the 46th over of their innings. So there's 50 overs of the day's play left. They're not going to win, but they have to see it out. And Hassan Azad did exactly that. 104 out from 280 deliveries, 6 hours at the crease, a mammoth stand, to say the least, from the Leicestershire opener. Rob, how impressive was that performance from Hass? He's such a good player. And to give this more backstory, that was his 7th first-class century in 42 career games. Just how impressive was he in this particular encounter?
Yeah, I mean, he's always been someone who you look at and he scored runs. Like you say, 742 games is pretty impressive. Pretty impressive going. This style of innings trying to save a game really suits him. He is one of those where play against him, you don't really feel like he's hurting you, but then you look up on the board and he's on 80 and you're like, wow, you've not felt like he's taken the game. We spoke about Ed Pollock earlier. He got, I think it was nearly a run of ball 100. They're the sort of people that you look at and think, well, that can hurt you. But Hass to dig in, the Leicester wall, can be hard to get out. We've struggled against him before trying to get him out. He really does grind it out. And it was a perfect situation for him to go in and save the game for Leicester. And if there was ever a man you wanted to go in and battle day, it's probably Hass. Because from what I've heard, he loves batting. He never gets bored. So yeah, perfect man for the job.
Yeah, he most certainly is. As you said, absolutely loves batting, has that over my dead body kind of attitude when it comes to the art itself. And it was a perfect situation for him to display the best of his skills. So big up to Hassan Azad. He was absolutely superb. I also just wanted to mention as well, Bohran Hendricks, the new signing from South Africa, 16 not out from 60 balls. Bear in mind, he was the last wicket. So that was a massive, massive knock, a great stand between those two. I think they survived for about 26 overs in total towards the end of the day. And again, this is a common theme on today's review show, but yet another fantastic draw in this year's County Championship. Just again, a really, really good start to the season for both sides. Obviously for Worcestershire, I think the fans would have wanted a win. You know, just one wicket away, it's tantalising. It's right there, I suppose, on the scorecard. But either way, I think that's quite a fair result, to be honest, especially given the way in which Hassan Azad saw out that final day at Grace Road. But moving aside then from the East Midlands, let's go down to Wales for the first time in 2022. Let's go down to Sophia Gardens, where Glamorgan and Durham played out a weather-affected draw in Cardiff. And as I mentioned with the weather, before we get into the game, the weather down in Wales at times was absolutely atrocious. Heavy rain, I think there were some reports of sleet, hail, basically everything that makes up a County Championship game in April. That's why we love it so much. That's part and parcel of the fan experience. But the weather definitely made its presence felt in the Welsh capital this week. But talking to someone else who made his presence felt, a certain Alex Lees, 182 not out from 358 deliveries. That was quite the performance, wasn't it, Rob?
Yeah, it was. And again, he's obviously taken his confidence from the England session in the winter and trying to impress early to get his name in the hat and keep his for the England test matches in the summer. And what a way to start, 182 not out. Out of 380 as well. I think other than Bedingham and Scott Borthwick, I don't think any others got out of double figures. I might be wrong there, but he showed he's an experienced player now, Alex, and he's obviously shown that. And he batted through the innings, obviously, to get a not out. Yeah, very impressive.
Yeah, he was. Certainly was. And again, flexing his muscles for the England selectors heading into this year's championship, definitely worthy, I think, of a prolonged run in that England test side. Because when he does get in, you mentioned about Hassan Azad, the Leicester wall being very, very difficult to disrupt and get out of rhythm. I feel like Alex Lees is a very similar kind of player in that regard when he does get in. So Durham fans, watch out. Again, if Leesy gets going, you've got quite a good chance of getting promotion in 2022. And you mentioned there a certain David Benningham, the first man to 1,000 runs in last year's county championship, played only 13 games as well. Imagine if he played the entire summer. 76 from 85 balls. He was playing it like it was a one-day cup match. It was absolutely beautiful batting. And Scott Borthwick as well, 64, a valuable half century for the Durham skipper. And yeah, I think they set up the game very, very nicely indeed. But aside from the batting, I just wanted to give a massive mention to a certain Glamorgan bowler, because a recurring theme in today's show has been the difficulty of bowling spin in April. The wickets don't suit you. There isn't turn. There isn't much grip in the surfaces. And yet in the first round of the county championship, Andy Salter took career best figures of 7/45. Now, what makes this even more impressive, aside from the fact it's April, aside from the fact that the conditions weren't exactly favourable, it's actually Andy's first ever career first-class fiver. So congratulations, first and foremost, to Andy. A fantastic individual performance. But Rob, he was just unstoppable, wasn't he? He just seemed to be picking up wickets after wicket after wicket on a surface which shouldn't really have suited him.
Yeah, of course. Well, for any spinner to get wickets in April is massive. We spoke about it earlier with Patterson White. But for Salts to go and get 7 in the first game, we talk about confidence and taking that confidence into the rest of the season. What a way to start for him. And yeah, hopefully for Glamorgan, he can go on and start taking a lot more wickets now and take that confidence into games. I know he's now opening the batting as well, I think. So he's been given a key role down there, and hopefully he can kick on, keep taking wickets and score some runs as well.
Fingers crossed, Glamorgan fans. That'd be absolutely fantastic, wouldn't it? And of course, Marnus Labuschagne coming back into the squad for this week's game as well. Things are looking up for the Welsh outfit. They really are. And hopefully, I really do hope that they have a strong campaign in 2022. They've got some great options. Michael Nisa is coming back into the side as well. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how this Glamorgan side shape up as the championship progresses. But just one final player I want to mention from Glamorgan, Colin Ingram, Kingram, as he's known down in Cardiff, a fantastic player, to say the least. Obviously has international experience, a wealth of franchise experience as well. But in this particular game, I thought he showed great, great coolness, great assuredness, calmness at the crease against a very potent Durham seam attack. And Rob, we have to talk about that seam attack. Just 4 bowlers used. That's all they needed to bowl Glamorgan out for 234 runs. How important, how vital will that seam quartet be to Durham's promotion chances in 2022?
Yeah, massive. Obviously, everyone knows Rashi. He's going to be massive for them. He's every batter's nightmare. He's obviously a massive, massive bowler for them. And you've got the other guys, Ben Raines, experienced cricketer, Coggers again, experienced cricketer, and young Matty Potts has impressed me actually since he sort of burst onto the scene. He's got a little bit of pace about him. Again, he's been picked up in the 100, and if he can just keep going the way he's going, he's going to be a very good bowler. And yeah, like you say, that attack, they've got cast to add to that. And yeah, I think they're going to be definitely up there with favourites to get promoted with Notts.
They most definitely are. I mean, you mentioned it there. You just wouldn't want to face them. They're a really, really difficult bowling outfit to come across with the likes of Rushy. You've got Matt Potts, Dustin Melton mentioned him, to be honest, on the previous show as well. Then you've got the likes of Cast, you've got the likes of Coughlin. It's a really, really good seam attack. And then you've also got the spin of Liam Travaskis, if they need him. They might have already taken 10 wickets by the time that it starts to turn. So, yeah, Durham looking very, very nicely positioned indeed heading into the rest of this summer. And for Glamorgan as well, again, I suppose you couldn't really have got a result from this game, but some positives to take away. In particular, Salter, it will be interesting to see how his role develops because he's obviously quite new to the opening position. It's a point that we raised in our preview show because their middle order is brilliant. Kieran Carlson and Chris Cook in this game, in that second innings, were fantastic. Both scored 50s, but they need top order runs. And if they can supplement the top order with that strong middle order, again, Glamorgan, definitely a dark horse to watch out for in Division 2, heading into the rest of this county summer. But Rob, 7 games down, 1 to go. We move on to our final game from round 1, Middlesex versus Derbyshire. A very interesting game, it has to be said. Again, like the majority of games in this year's round 1 of the championship, it did end up in a draw. But there are some really, really good performances. And we have to start, actually, with a man who scored the first century of the 2022 LV County Championship, which is Stephen Eskenazi, someone who almost left the club in round 4 of last year's championship. He wanted a loan move, that didn't go through, and here he is now raising the bat for his beloved Middlesex. So for Saxes fans, that's worked out quite nicely. But just how impressive was he in that game? Because at least from my perspective as a neutral, I think, again, he showed a great level of maturity at the crease. But in addition to that, he also timed his innings really nicely. He wasn't going hard at the ball. He wasn't attacking it too much. He was just accumulating runs, doing his own thing, staying in his lane. And yeah, he was just accumulating runs for fun out there at the home of cricket.
Yeah, he's obviously a key player for Middlesex now. You said about the troubles he had last year with the club. And since then, he's just not looked back. I think he got 100 in the Blast last year. Scored runs regularly in the Blast last year, I think, actually. And he's obviously, since that little hiccup with the club, they must have put that to bed, and he's going to be a big player for them moving forward. They've added Stoneman to their batting lineup for some experience. They've got some good young players. Max Holden, he came on loan to us actually a few years ago. He's a real good young player, and I know he had a taste of England Lions a few years ago. So he's another one to look out for. Middlesex looking strong. Obviously, Roland Jones and Murta with a ball. Simpson, experienced keeper. Yeah, they're definitely another side to look out for.
Yeah, they are. They are. Again, that seam attack in particular, Ethan Bamber as well, a man who took 54 wickets in last year's championship, someone else coming through that academy of cricket that they've got down in North London. And that takes me beautifully onto another young player who impressed a lot of people in this particular match and got his name more widely known as a result of it, a certain Joshua Dekers, the son of Michael Atherton, something which, again, is a point which has been raised by a lot of people. But I think it's important for us as fans and, of course, in the media to realise he is his own player. He's not Michael Atherton. If he is, great. That'd be fantastic for us as English fans. But we have to let him develop at his own rate. Let's not get to comparisons just yet. I don't think that'll be helpful at all, at least in my personal opinion. But in this game, 80 from 163 balls. Again, a really good innings. Some promising signs from Josh to take forward heading into the rest of this year's championship. I thought he showed a great deal of calmness at the crease. He was just owning it, to be honest. He had a great presence out in the middle. And something which did impress me, again, was that steel, the grit, the fortitude, which is always helpful for any county batting option. So Josh Dekers, watch out for him. Definitely another young player to watch out for if you are a Saxes fan in this year's championship. And talking to players who are also very impressive in this particular game, albeit a little bit older, a bit more experienced, played a lot more international cricket, Shan Massoud, a fantastic signing, might I just say, from Mickey Arthur and Derbyshire as a club. You think of the wealth of experience, you think of the quality that he provides this batting order. And something which we mentioned with James Thompson, Warwickshire's former analyst, top order runs in the county championship are so important. They really are. The best sides get top order runs. And Shan Massoud, in this game, instant impression, 91, 62 from 68. He looks in good touch, doesn't he, Rob?
Yeah, definitely. What a way to start. As an overseas player coming over, you always want to try and score runs in your first few games just to show your other teammates, the supporters, what you can do. And you want to be known as a good signing. And what a way to start. A shame he couldn't get the three figures, but I'm sure he'd be delighted with a 90 and a 60 he got. But yeah, that Derbyshire top order batting lineup is very experienced with Masood, Godelman, Madsen. There's a lot of experience there for the young guys to learn from. Lewis Rees as well, he's in there. And then you've got Lewis Deploy, who can take a game away from you. Again, we spoke about the 100 before. He impressed in the 100. So yeah, they've got an experienced top order batting lineup, and they'll be hoping to put some runs on.
Yep, fingers crossed for Derbyshire fans that can happen in this year's championship, because they did have a really disappointing championship in 2021. I said that on multiple shows, considering all the progress that was made in 2020. 2021 did seem like a stumbling block. But when you look at the signings, Sarangal Akmal as well, I know he didn't quite, you know, take a four or a five in this game, but at times he did look quite dangerous at the home of cricket. But you've got him signing, Shan Masood coming into the club, Mickey Arthur as the head of cricket has been absolutely fantastic. I love the direction that he's taken this club in, and the fact that he's so proud of the club and the identity that it has in county cricket. He's no longer satisfied with Derbyshire being the 18th first class county, the side which people want to eject. He's really, really taken pride in this project, and hopefully will take Derbyshire back to great heights in county cricket. But aside from the overseas options, and aside from the likes of Wayne Madsen, the likes of Shan Masood as well, just another two players I'd like to mention from Derbyshire. Anuj Dal, he got 50 in the first innings. And Alex Thompson as well, someone who hasn't played a ton of first-class cricket, was pretty impressive at times for Warwickshire in the 2020 Bobolish Trophy. But he took a forfeit in the first innings in this game, again, on a surface which we usually associate with seam bowling. So Alex Thompson, big up to him as well. Thought he was absolutely superb. And finally, Rob, from a Middlesex perspective, just one final question, I suppose. And you've already mentioned him already, but Max Holden, he's impressive, isn't he? Do you think he could be up there? I know this is a bold prediction, but in terms of Middlesex's leading run scorers, do you think he could be up there and challenging alongside the likes of Stoneman, Robson, Robbie White, who was impressive in this game?
I hope so, yeah. And we forgot to mention Robson there. He obviously missed out this week with an injury, so he's to come into that lineup as well. So they're looking a strong batting lineup. And yeah, back to Max. He's a really nice guy, actually. Really nice guy. I know people they were comparing him to Alistair Cook, which is always nice if you get compared to one of England's greats. It's always a compliment. But he, when he came on loan to us, he was really impressive on and off the field. He worked so hard. He bought into our club's culture, if you like, which might have been slightly different to Middlesex's at the time. And the lads loved him. And he did really well for us, actually. So I hope to see him kick on, score some runs, and yeah, put his name back out there again, because he's a good young player.
He is indeed. And you mentioned about him being a good bloke. We had him on the podcast beforehand. He was absolutely delightful. So big up to Max Holden. Hopefully he can find some form again, because when he is in form and he is in good touch and the leather is finding the willow, he's a fantastic player to watch indeed. So fingers crossed, Middlesex fans, that Max Holden can have a promising season in 2022. But Rob, that is basically it, to be honest, for the review segments of today's show. But before we get on to this week's cricket draft fantasy league positions, we do, of course, have the Division 2 table, which is looking quite interesting indeed. So at the top of Division 2, at the first round, we have got Notts on 23 points. In second, we have Durham on 15 points. In third and fourth, we have Worcestershire and Middlesex, both on 14 points apiece. Then in fifth and sixth, we find Derbyshire and Leicestershire on 12 points each. In seventh, we find Glamorgan on 11 points. And in eighth and final position, we see Sussex on 5 points. So there we have it. The first round of the 2022 County Championship is officially done and dusted. It's in the record books. Nothing can be changed. And of course, we look forward to the second round of games starting on Thursday this week. But before we say our final goodbyes for the recording, Rob, we do, of course, have our Fantasy League positions. Now, I've got to be honest, we had some good performances in the cricket draft this week. And in fact, I have got the top three names in front of me. So first and foremost, well done to Jonathan Grocott with the team name at Bring Back Branderson, which is quite the tongue twister, to say the least. But he scored 2,433 points. So well done to Jonathan. He's currently at the top of our standings at the end of round one. In second, we have Sol Street with the team name Pokey No Ball on 2,409 points. And in third, the bronze medal position, we have Callum Wilkinson with the team name Ben Dwarshes His Moustache, a very interesting name to say the least. He was on 2,405 points. So there we have it, folks. If you want to get involved with the Fantasy League, you can find the link to that in the podcast description below. I've got to be honest, I didn't actually have a bad round. I think I'm 36th at the moment out of 250-something, I believe, in our league. So, yeah, if you want to join, you're more than welcome to. The more the merrier, as we say here at the County Cricket Podcast. But, Rob, that is Stumps for the first of our 2022 County Championship review shows. All that's left for me to say, mate, is thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure. You've given us some great insights into each and every single one of the games. And you're always welcome back here on the podcast heading into the future. But Rob, have you got anything to plug or promote? Social media channels, websites, anything like that before we say our final goodbyes?
Oh, I wish I did actually, but I don't. You put me on the spot there. I'd have liked to have done a bit of research and gave a few shout outs. No, but thank you for having me. Yeah, it's nice to give back. And like you say, you've also got me out of bed with COVID and given me something to do for the day. So yeah, thanks for having me. And I'm glad my voice just about held up for you.
Yeah, most certainly has, Rob. And as I said, it's been an absolute pleasure. Always welcome back on the County Cricket Podcast heading into the future, mate. It's been an absolute delight. But that does bring us to an end to today's episode of the County Cricket Podcast. To all of you wonderful listeners out there, thank you very much for tuning in. And as always, guys, we'll see you on the next one.